Well, amen. You're singing well this morning, and it's a privilege to be here. So good to be with you in Stainfield Baptist, and we trust the Lord will bless us as we meet around His Word. Let me thank Brian for his kind words of welcome, and it truly is a privilege to be here and to be meeting and having fellowship with you again. We're turning in our Bibles, please, this morning to the Gospel of Luke, please. The Gospel of Luke and the second chapter, the Gospel of Luke. And the second chapter, I'd like to speak to you this morning under the title, The Need for the Divine Presence. The Need for the Divine Presence. Luke chapter 2 and the verse 42. And we'll read through to the end of the chapter. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2 and verse 42. And this is the word of the Lord. And we read there, and when he, that is the Lord Jesus, was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? They understood not the saying which he spake unto them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And we trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word to each of our hearts this morning. Let's come before the Lord with our Bibles open on our laps and let's ask for him to speak to us. Today, let's pray together. Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure, unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation. Enter every trembling heart. O our Father, we bow in thy presence just now. And we have come and already had the most important part of our gathering. For Father, we have opened thy word. And we have read it. And Father, I pray now that as we seek to understand it, that, Father, by thy Spirit, you would minister to each heart. Father, you know each one who is gathered in. You know our hearts. You see all things. And so, our Father, I pray that you would have a dealing with each one of us, preacher included. That, Father, we would know a real sense of your presence just now. Oh, Father, I pray for your help. I pray that you would hide me behind the cross of Christ. I pray, Father, as we listen to your word this morning, that no words of a preacher would be heard or that no words of a preacher would be remembered. But, Father, only what is of you. Only that the voice of God would speak in this place and penetrate our hearts. Father, we ask that you would search our hearts, that you would try our thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Speak to us, O God, we pray. We need to hear from thee. We ask this in the Saviour's name. Amen. Amen. Henry Francis Light was of delicate health all of his life, but that didn't stop him from working like an ox year after year, pastoring the seafaring people around Devonshire in England. But finally, his strength gave out, and in 1847, his doctor suggested that he should move to the milder climate in southern France. It was a heartbreaking parting, and Light couldn't leave without one final sermon to the church that he had pastored for 24 years. His health was so frail that his friends had advised him against it, but Light was determined to preach one last time to his congregation. And in his final sermon, he pleaded with the gathered congregation to become acquainted with the changeless Christ and his death. He wanted the congregation to recognize that without the presence of Christ in their lives, and without the presence of Christ in the church body, their efforts would be useless and their lives would be of no eternal value. The evening after he preached, he found comfort in pondering the words of Christ in John 15, "Abide in me and I in you." And in fact, he wrote a poem which he passed on to his adopted daughter before he died. And the poem read these words, "Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me." Light was a man who knew the critical importance of the divine presence of Christ being with him. He knew that without Christ, he was nothing. He knew that without the presence of Christ in his church fellowship, that there was no point in gathering at all. Corrie Ten Boom once said that she was no good without the presence of Christ in her life. She's quoted saying, "Like some railway tickets in America, I am not good if detached." It's no good if we're detached from Christ. No good if we're detached from the divine presence. No good if we lose the divine presence of God. Now, as we come to God's Word this morning, we find the account of when Mary and Joseph, who were Christ's parents, the protectors of his presence, if you like, well, they lose the Lord Jesus. You see, the family had been in Jerusalem. They were there for the feast of the Passover. We read about that in verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, three times a year under the Levitical law. It was required for all Jewish men to travel to Jerusalem to celebrate three feasts. That is why in verse 42, it speaks of the custom or law of the feast. This was an event commanded by the Lord. It was written into the Levitical law, and you can read that for yourself at some other stage. It's found in Leviticus 23. And quite often the men would bring their whole family with them, their wives and their children. And this event which was happening, these events that was happening, this was the Passover. And the Jewish people celebrated and remembered the final plague in Egypt when the angel of death passed over their homes and ultimately set them free from slavery. Then another time of year they would have all gathered in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. And that was the Feast of First Fruits when they celebrated God's faithful provision in harvest. And then the final feast that these men would have been required to make the journey to Jerusalem for was the Feast of Tabernacles, which is when the people remembered their wanderings in the wilderness and God provided manna from heaven for them. You know, very little is recorded for us of Christ's childhood in Scripture. We read very few detailed accounts of our Savior's childhood, but this account, when the Savior was just 12 years old, has been reserved by the Spirit of God to teach us many lessons. And I trust this passage will teach us many lessons. On this occasion, Mary and Joseph have traveled to Jerusalem. They're there for the feast of the Passover. And we pick up the narrative this morning, and they're on their homeward journey to Nazareth. The celebrations are all over. They're all done. And in verse 43, we read, "And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey." Mary and Joseph would have been traveling with a group back to Nazareth. And we're told in verse 44 that they just supposed that the Lord Jesus was in the company. And they went and they traveled one day out of Jerusalem without him. And the women all would have walked together in one group. That would have been the tradition. And the men would have traveled together in another group. And they were all traveling together. And the men supposed that Christ was with the women. And the women assumed that Christ was with the men. But his presence was missing. While all of this was going on, the Lord Jesus had found his way to the temple in Jerusalem. And he spent 3 days there, hearing what the doctors and teachers had to say. And they were asking the Lord Jesus questions, and he was teaching them. And the men in the temple, they were astonished at his presence. They were astonished at his knowledge. He would have been teaching them the Old Testament, speaking about himself. He would have been teaching things and pointing things out that these men had never ever noticed before. And if the truth be told, you would have expected these men to ask, "Where are your parents, son?" Or they should have been asking, "Where are you from?" Or "Where should you be?" But they were so taken up. And they were so captivated by Christ. They were just consumed by the presence of Christ as they gleaned from his perfect knowledge and as they gleaned from his perfect teaching and his perfect doctrine. In the meantime, there's Mary and Joseph. They've gone a day without him. It was only after a day of not seeing Christ that they begin to search. And at the end of verse 44, it tells us that they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. You know, it's bad enough when you lose your child. Surely it's even worse to lose the Son of God. You and I could very quickly rush in here and accuse Mary and Joseph of negligence, and we could accuse them of desertion of duty. But immediately the thought crosses my mind that there are many times to my shame and my Christian experience that similarly I have neglected Christ's presence, neglected his fellowship and lost his company. If you're truly being honest, dear brother, dear sister, this morning, you could probably say the same. You know, when you go without the Lord's presence, maybe a day without his presence, doesn't it become so much harder to get back to where you were? You see, Mary and Joseph were one day's journey out of Jerusalem. They would have had to return to Jerusalem. There's 2 days without the Lord's presence. Then the passage tells us then when they arrived in Jerusalem, it took them 3 days to find the Lord Jesus. That's 5 days. 1 day without Christ, 1 step away from the divine presence, is a dangerous step to take. I want to say this to encourage you to keep persevering with the Lord. In these days in Sinfield Baptist, there may be the missing presence of a pastor. And during your vacancy, what I will say is this. It's the divine presence of Christ that will bring the blessing, not the presence of a pastor. It's the divine presence of Christ that every church fellowship needs. And as you support your church leadership, don't you grumble and complain. You keep praying for the church leadership. I'm so glad to hear there's a prayer meeting tonight as you pray for your vacancy. You keep praying for the leadership as they seek out for a man to fit the role. You pray that it will be God's man that will be found. You pray that the person who will be found in your pulpit in days to come will come in God's time. Don't rush them. You pray that the Lord will lead the right man to this place. But you pray as well
that no matter whether there's a man in your pulpit each Sunday, or whether it's different speakers each week, what's more important is that the divine presence of Christ is found in this place. That when people gather in, that they know Christ is here. That when they have conversations with each one of you, that they know you've been with Christ. That they know that this is a fellowship that adores the Lord Jesus Christ. That His name is lifted high. You know, I believe it's possible for an individual believer to lose a sense of the divine presence of God. Let me make this clear before we go on. For the child of God, the Lord has promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But I believe there are times when a saved individual, a whole church fellowship, a pastor can lose a sense of the divine presence of God. For the child of God, our relationship will always be secure. We're part of God's family forever, but our fellowship with the Lord can be marred. We can lose a sense of the divine presence. When you go for days and you never hear His voice and He never hears yours, maybe at times it's been longer than that. Maybe at times when the sense of the divine presence is gone and our fellowship with the Lord is marred, that you have gone maybe months without picking up that Bible from week to week. It's just picked up for a Sunday. Let me make it clear. If we're to know the Lord's blessing in our church fellowships, we need a closeness of the divine presence with each one of us. And what I simply want to do here in these closing moments is make a few observations from the text and point them out. And see what we can learn about the divine presence from this Bible account. The hymn writer got it right when they wrote, I must have the Saviour with me, for I dare not walk alone. I must feel His presence with me and His arms around me thrown. I want you to notice firstly the time of the loss. The time of the loss. You know, Mary and Joseph, they're in Jerusalem. They're obeying God's word. They're fulfilling their God-given duty. They were obeying the law of God. And all of the men of Nazareth, in their town, they'd all traveled to Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus, He was 12, so He had come of age to travel too. And there they were. They were obeying God's word. They were doing exactly what the law had instructed them to do. And it was a time of blessing in Jerusalem, the holy city. And everyone was gathered. It was a holy city at Passover season that they lost the presence of God. They would have had a great congregation of pilgrims milling around the city, traveling in and out of it. They would have had relatives who loved God, and among many people who loved Jehovah, and they were all in the city together. They were in the midst of holy heritage among the Jews, God's chosen people, Israel. This would have been such a special time of rejoicing and feasting, and they would have been taking part in solemn worship. And you would imagine that this would be a time that you could never lose the divine presence of God. You would imagine that there's no way they could have neglected the presence of the Lord. But it was during this time that they lost the divine presence. That can happen. Being familiar with surroundings where you've known the presence of the Lord in the past does not mean that you have fellowship with Him now. Church attendance, just being here, does not mean that individually you have a sense of the divine presence in your life. Being heavily involved in church activity does not mean that your fellowship with God is right. You could be doing all those things but be missing out on intimacy with the Holy One. Familiarity and intimacy with God are not the same thing. Here in Jerusalem, this was a mountaintop season. This was a good time. But it was at that high point that they lost the presence of God. When things were going well, things began to drift. During the good season, you and I maybe don't feel the need to read as much or pray as much, or go to as many meetings, because life's good. But that's when we're most vulnerable. That's when the devil attacks. It's not just when things are going wrong that we need the Lord. We need Him all the time. the good times on the mountaintop, the bad times in the valley. We need the Lord at all points in our life. And here we are in Jerusalem during this great time of blessing, and the divine presence is lost. Dear brothers and sisters, we need to be steadfast no matter what season we're going through in our lives and walk with God. To be continuous with the Lord, to keep going. We need a time each day when we meet with the Lord, when we can praise Him for what He's doing in our lives, when we can ask Him for help, when we can tell Him exactly how we're feeling. And then we need that daily time in the Word for the Lord to encourage us or to rebuke us or to lift our hearts to God, because it's a daily walk that keeps us close to the heart of God. If we want to be near to Him, we need to be lifting our heart to Him each day. I wonder, are you found at the prayer meetings, even before the Lord's Day services, when the church meets together to cry out to the Lord for blessing? I wonder, will you be at the midweek when the church meets around God's Word and prays together? Quite often, that's when the list of prayer needs are read for the fellowship. I wonder, will you be out to hear it? We want to know a sense of the divine fellowship in local churches. We need to be out and we need to seek God's presence with all our hearts, both corporately and in our individual walk with the Lord. You would never have thought at a great time of blessing that they would have lost the presence. The time of the loss is significant. But I want you to notice, secondly, the tragedy of the loss. The tragedy of the loss. You see, it was a dreadful thing for our fellowship with the Lord to be spoiled and to lose the sense of His presence. But it's a tragedy to lose the divine presence and not even know about it. Look at verse 43. Read it with me again. It says there, "And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem." And listen to this. "And Joseph and his mother knew not of it." That's a tragedy. They had lost the Lord's presence and they hadn't even noticed it was gone. That's a tragedy. I wonder, could it be that there's someone here and you've lost the Lord's presence, fellowship, and up to this point you've never even noticed? You know, there's churches up and down this land, so-called churches, up and down this land, and they're running activities. And it might as well be a community center because the glory has departed. That makes me quake in my soul. A church could look the part. A church can seem like it has everything in place, but the glory could have departed. We could think of the church at Ephesus in Revelation. This is a church that you probably would have attended if you were in the area. Sound doctrine taught, tick. Great activity, tick. Seem to be serving the Lord well, tick. But what did the Lord say to them? The Lord said this, "Thou hast left thy first love." It's not organized activity and well-planned services that will win the battle against the enemy. It's our consecration to God. It's our devotion to the Lord. It's our nearness to Him. And oh, as a fellowship, you must constantly be going forward on your knees. Know that we would seek to know the glory of the Lord in our local churches again. Oh, that we would cry out to the Lord to know that sense of the divine presence in every service we step into. This is the greatest tragedy that could happen to any individual or any church. It's not knowing that the Lord's presence is gone. You see, the truth is, you won't return to the Lord until you realize that His glory has departed. Let me ask you. And I want you to ask yourself these questions. I want you to say to yourself and speak within your own soul, how near am I to the Lord today? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Do you seek to walk close with God that you can hear the heartbeat of the Father? How close are you to the heart of God? How close are we as a local church, us at Grange, you here at St. Bill, how close are you to the heart of God? Moses said to the Lord, I won't go any further unless your presence is coming with me. When Joshua sought the Lord after losing the battle at Ai, the Lord told Joshua there was sin in the camp and it needed dealt with. And only when the sin was dealt with did the Lord's glory return. Is there a sin you need to deal with, dear brother, dear sister? Oh, how we must learn to live close to the heart of God, nearer, still nearer. Close to my heart, draw me, my Saviour, how precious thou art. Fold me, oh, fold me close to thy breast. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest. Are you walking near to him today? Or maybe this is the moment when you realize you've been walking for at a distance for a while. You know, when John was writing to the Christians at the end of his life, he told them to keep short accounts, to keep confessing their sin to the Lord. And he said that the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That verse is written to God's people. It's used in the gospel often, and rightly so. But that wee verse there was written to God's people, that we have a God who is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why not draw near to the Lord again this afternoon? The time of the loss, it was a time of great blessing when you would have thought they would have been close with the Lord. That the tragedy of the loss, they didn't even know that the Lord was missing. The tears through the loss. The tears through the loss. You know, when Mary and Joseph found the child Jesus, we're told in verse 48 that Mary says to the Saviour, behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Let me tell you, when you go for a period without the Lord, sin will enter into your life very quickly, and it will lead to sorrow, and it will lead to misery. You know, if there's anyone here present, and you've lost the presence of the Lord, it's most likely that you've backslidden in your heart. Yes, I've said that. It's most likely that you've backslidden in your heart rather than in your life choices. What do I mean by that? Well, you haven't ran off to the nightclubs or the local pub. Or the betting shops. You don't forget about the meetings. You're here on the Lord's Day, but you may look the part, but God sees your heart, and it could be that you've backslidden in your heart. We need God's presence for blessing, but without His presence is only sorrow and grief and misery and tears and sorrows. And if you're not seeking to walk close with the Lord, well, it's very likely that you will soon fall into sin. And maybe the cry from our souls should be today, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. The psalmist in Psalm 16, when worshipping the Lord, says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Outside of the Lord's presence, there's nothing for us. The time of the loss, the tragedy of the loss, the tears of the loss, the torment of the loss. The torment. Now, I want to focus very briefly on this wee word sorrowing at the end of verse 48. This is important. The same word for sorrowing is used for the rich man in the story in the parable that the Lord told of the rich man and Lazarus. And it says that the rich man was sorrowing. That man was in hell. Now, the truth is that you wouldn't expect such a strong word to be applied to the believer. But this was the word that Mary used. It means the depths of sorrow. It means separation of fellowship with the Lord. And it caused a sorrow like Mary had never known before. You know, part of the punishment of hell is eternal separation from God. And it's a place where God will never return. But for the child of God, we can never pass through hell. But let me suggest that when we lose the divine presence, we experience just a small measure of the misery of hell that separation brings. Mary was sorrowing because the presence of the Lord, the fellowship was marred, was divided. It affected her deeply. But you know, as we draw this part of our service to a close, praise God that in His grace and mercy, the divine presence can be recovered. You see, we've seen the time of the loss. It was a time of blessing. We've seen the tragedy of the loss. They didn't even know that the presence was gone. We've seen the tears of the loss. Joseph and Mary were searching for Him and they were sorrowing. We've seen the torment of the loss. That word sorrowing that speaks of separation, to be separated in our fellowship with God, that is torment. But then we finally see the turning from the loss. The turning from the loss. Look at verse 45. It says here, "And when they found Him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking Him. And when they found Him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking Him." You know, when they realized, the very moment that they realized that the divine presence was not with them, they didn't stick their hands in their pockets and get a team together and say, we'll wait a day and get our troops together and go on down Jerusalem. Absolutely not. No, they immediately turned on their heels and they sought the Lord. When they realized they had lost Him, they sought Him quickly. They turned back without delay. They turned back without hesitation. And dear brother, dear sister, if you've got away from the Savior, I plead with you today, the sooner you turn back and seek Him again, the better. They weren't going to do anything else. Nothing else. Until they found Him. They would go on seeking and seeking and seeking until they found the Savior. I remember many years ago, one of my younger brothers, he got lost while on holiday. I remember even more vividly how my parents frantically sought to find him. And as soon as they realized he was missing, there was an immediate response. There was panic. They needed to find my brother immediately. And that's what it takes, an immediate response. And dear brother, dear sister, who maybe your fellowship's been marred with the Lord for a wee while, fall on your knees this afternoon and seek the Lord again. You do that. And just like Mary and Joseph, forget everything else. And you seek Him until you absolutely know that the divine presence and your fellowship with the Lord has been restored in your life again. I want you to know where they sought Him. They sought Him where they lost Him. Did you get that? They sought Him where they lost Him. They went back to Jerusalem. They backtracked to the place that they last had the Savior. Well, what do we all do when we lose something? When we lose our car keys or our watch or our phone? You think, when and where was the last place that I had them? You go back to that place. And they recovered the Savior just where they lost Him. They found Him in Jerusalem and He was about His Father's business. Let me tell you the place where you find the Savior this morning. You find Him where He first saved you. You find Him at the cross. The one who is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You'll find Him where you left Him. Maybe it was last week you stopped reading your Bible. Maybe a month ago. You will find the divine presence when you pick your Bible up and read it again. You plead with the Lord to speak to you through His Word. Maybe it's been a long time since you sought the Lord in prayer. You'll find Him when you speak to Him again. Maybe you've given in to a sin. You'll find Him when you repent at the cross. You'll find Him at the cross. Where is the blessedness I knew when first I sought the Lord? Where is that soul-refreshing view of Jesus and His Word? the dearest idol I have known, whatever that idol be. Help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. I wonder, will the wee final verse of that hymn become our prayer and testimony today? So shall my walk be close with God, calm and serene my frame, so pure our light to mark the road that leads me to the Lamb. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, we have a great need of the divine presence of Christ in each of our lives. And oh, if you've been living in such a way where the fellowship has been marked, I plead with you, make it right with the Lord this afternoon. You go home, forget about the Sunday dinner, it can wait. Forget about everything else, it can wait. If you need to go and shut the door of your room, go to a quiet place, wherever that is, you go home and you get down on your knees and you plead with the Lord for forgiveness, that you would know his presence in your life again. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never known the presence of the Lord at any stage in your life. Well, let me say this to you. You can know the Lord's presence in your life for the very first time today. There's a Savior who loves you, who went to the cross of Calvary and took your place and died for your sin. And the first thing you need to do, and the first prayer that God will hear from you, is that prayer of repentance. Turning from your sin, placing your faith and trust in the Christ who died at Calvary. But you know what? Those who come to him, he says he will never cast out. He's ready and willing to save you even this morning. But you know what's even better again? There's many a religion in this world will tell you, of the people that they look to, every single one of them are lying in their graves today. But praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he rose again on the third day, defeating death, defeating sin. And that's why we can speak about his presence being in a place like this. I wonder if his presence in your life individually. I trust that you'll come to Christ. Place your faith and trust in him as your Savior, even today. We're going to sing as we close this part of our service. We're going to sing that hymn that we've just quoted. It's 556 in the hymn book, if you're using that. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. We'll stand and sing together after the introduction and remain standing as we close this part of our service. If you must leave, it's been good to see each one of you, and we trust the Lord will bless you as you head on home today. Don't forget the service this evening. Please do come back as we preach the gospel. Bring on saved friends and family along. Contact them, bring them back, and this evening we'll turn to God's word again as we turn to the gospel message. Let's stand and sing this together after the introduction.